Our next guest is a longtime defender of natural resources in our area. Her name is Maya Van Rossum of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, which champions the rights of our communities to a Delaware River and tributary streams that are free-flowing, clean, and healthy. So we welcome Maya Van Rossum to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for joining us. I was very excited to read up on you in preparation for you being on the show tonight. And the first thing that I want to just say is that, you know, I noticed when I went to the website of your organization and I looked up the staff list on there, and I saw that you're not listed as director or executive director, but as the Delaware Riverkeeper. And I was thrilled by that. And I want to know just how you came to be doing this work. You've been doing this work for a long time of protecting the water and trying to ensure that it stays safe and clean for all of us. So talk to us a little bit about your organization's work to defend the Delaware River watershed and its ecosystems against fracking pollution and development interests and all the other things that threaten our water system.
Sure, I am happy for that opportunity, but I will try to keep it brief because there is so much going on. And I do want to say, I think it's just interesting. You know, I have such a long name, Maya Van Rossum, and yet your previous guest, right, really, everything was rep-rab. What a difference.
Well, maybe you ought to have a nickname too, then.
That's right. I got to come up with something shorter. As you said, I am the person that is honored to bear the title of the Delaware Riverkeeper. And so my role as the Delaware Riverkeeper is to be the voice of the Delaware River and to make sure that any time is challenging the river, is planning a project or a program or a permit that would damage the main stem river or any of the streams that feed it, because the health of the river is directly dictated by those streams. It's really my job to rise up and defend the rights of the river to be clean and healthy. But of course, that is not the job of one person, right? So I am the person honored to bear that title. But really protecting our river, protecting our watershed, protecting any ecosystem or any aspect of our community is a community job. And so I really have a wonderful group of about 20 folks that work with me at the Delaware Riverkeeper Network on staff. And then we've got tens of thousands of people throughout the Delaware River watershed, including in the city of Philadelphia, that really help us take on the challenges that face our river and face our watershed, which, as I said, directly dictates the health of the river. We do a lot of advocacy. We do a lot of litigation. We try to use good science and good facts to enforce the law and make sure that people's rights to a healthy environment and the river's right to be healthy are honored every single day.
Wow.
And maybe it's self-evident, but explain to our listeners why the river needs a spokesperson. Why does the watershed need a spokesperson? And even describe, if you could, what is a watershed and why is it so critical to protect it?
Sure. So a watershed, just to start with that really important question, a watershed includes all the land where when the rain falls, the water that falls to the ground could eventually make its way to the Delaware River. Mm. So it might go into the groundwater, it might go into a wetland, it might go to a stream that ultimately ends up in the Schuylkill, which then ultimately carries it to the Delaware River. And so the Delaware River watershed includes portions of New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. And anything that happens on those watershed lands has the potential to harm or to help the Delaware River. Now, there are 17 million people that drink the Delaware River water, that pull their drinking water, including millions in the city of Philadelphia that pull their water either from the main stem Delaware River or from the Schuylkill in order to drink it. So, of course, we need that water to be clean and healthy so people can consume it safely. There are many people who get food from the Delaware River. Many fish recreationally, but many people catch fish, and some by choice, but some out of need, take that fish home to feed it to themselves and feed it to their families. And, of course, we all just rely upon water for every aspect of our lives because it makes up our body. So it really is very, very important that our river is clean and healthy. And the river needs a community to rise up and speak for it and defend it, because in our human world, the river doesn't have a voice. And when the river tries to exercise its voice, like, for example, perhaps flooding out a community, saying, hey, you've got too much development in the wrong places, you're causing harm, well, then the human response is to not recognize that perhaps they're doing something wrong and maybe we should change our development patterns or change what we're doing, but immediately let's build a dam or let's do something else that is damaging to the river and damaging to every single person that lives downstream and depends upon that river.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So then the watershed is the Delaware watershed is not just obviously the river. There's 17 million people that live near the river and that have to use the water from the river. So I guess North Philadelphia is the watershed and Germantown is the watershed and all of what we call Philadelphia and the surrounding areas are the watershed. So in some sense, you're a protector of the entire community.
That's the way I view it. I mean, I work to fight for the river because all communities depend upon the river. And I look at the Delaware as being very much a part of our community, right? And we want to protect the river as much as we need the river to protect all of us. So I really do look at it. And as you said, it's all of Philadelphia. It's folks in, you know, Chester County. It's folks in Schuylkill County upstream. It's across the river in Camden. So we all need our rivers to be healthy. And so I really take that job very seriously and really take very seriously the importance of working with the community to take on the challenges they've identified in their portion of the watershed, in their backyards, whether it's an industrial operation or a new development project that could inflict harm on them and on the river at the same time.
You know, I was, as you were saying, that people are actually drinking the water from the Schuylkill and from the Delaware River. It made me wonder how many of our listeners make that connection with when they turn on their tap in their home. Do they think about where is this water coming from? I think a lot of times, I mean, I grew up in a rural area where I was very connected with nature and really had a sense of how I interacted with nature, how the natural environment affected my life on a daily basis, growing food in a garden, etc. But I think sometimes when we live in a city, we're not as connected to the fact that our water comes from somewhere, and that somewhere has to be kept clean and protected and everything. So what are the biggest threats facing the Delaware River watershed right now that you have been working on?
So there's a whole myriad of threats. Industrial operations continue to proliferate in the Delaware River watershed, both in the city of Philadelphia, but also upstream. There's a major threat, a constant threat that we are really trying to permanently battle back, of having industrial operations designed to extract gas from shale. People may have heard the word fracking.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an ongoing battle to keep fracking out of the Delaware River watershed. If it were to come into our watershed, it would mean massive amounts of water pulled out of the river, as well as dangerous toxins entering the river system that become dangerous for folks who live downstream. And when I say enter the river system, it might be in the groundwater, it might be on the land, it might be in the river itself. But there are so many pathways. We've got pipelines that are cutting through communities that bring a myriad of harms. We have pharmaceutical companies discharging their wastewater directly into the Delaware River that have contaminants in it. We have ongoing development projects where communities are developing very close to the river. The community of Eastwick, which we work with a lot, trying to protect that community from flooding and flood damages associated with the Darby Creek, they have really faced significant increases in flooding and flood damages because of inappropriate development that mm-hmm. has happened around their community. So the truth is, you know, the list is very long, and if any of your listeners, you know, are aware of an issue or a threat that concerns them, that is an environmental risk, and they need help figuring out what path to take it on, then the Delaware Riverkeeper Network is here as a resource, either to directly work with them on that issue, or if it's an issue that perhaps is more related to air quality or some issue that another organization works on, then we would work to put them in touch with the right folks.
Well, I'm thankful for that kind of local organizing that you're doing by asking the community themselves for their particular needs. I think that helps build the bottom-up movement for change that we will want to have to protect the watershed. But I am really interested in maybe one or two particular threats and how those threats may manifest in the health of the community. You know, I've talked to other advocates around other things, gases that are released, and they would point to things like, well, that's why you have more asthma in the children in the city of Philadelphia because of those toxins. Is there anything like that with our water, that the health things that we're seeing because of toxins in the water that are not being properly filtered out by our water companies?
So, I think the Philadelphia Water Company and the other water companies work really hard to filter out the toxins from the water. There was some research in the not too distant past looking at pharmaceuticals that remain in the water that the water purveyors didn't realize was in there because they weren't well regulated and they weren't being expected to test for it. And then when they actually test for it, they found, wow, we've got these problems with our water, and then have worked hard to filter that out. I think, you know, the thing is there are a lot of things that go into the water, and there's a lot of work that has to happen to extract those dangerous contaminants out of the water before it can safely get to people's faucets. But what's actually in the river itself before that process is very dangerous, because we do have people that are going down to swim in the river, or people that are catching fish in the river, or some of those contaminants can't get filtered out. So truthfully, I can't tell you that for, you know, every home in the city of Philadelphia, I've looked at what's actually in their water supply. But people do need to ask those questions, because one of the beautiful things that we have here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that you don't have anywhere else in the United States of America, except for in Montana, is the constitutional right to pure water, clean air, and a healthy environment. And so people need to be asking the very questions that you are asking. What is in our water? We do have communities around Philadelphia where there are PFOAs, which is a carcinogen that has been found in their drinking water supplies. We do have, like I said, pharmaceuticals that are found in people's water supplies. We do have some communities that are not in the city of Philadelphia, but that I'm working with right now around Philadelphia, where they have something called trichloroethylene that is in the soil and in the groundwater and in the stream that has had implications for people's water supplies. That is also a carcinogen. Over the river in Gloucester County, we also have something in the PFOA family that's been found in the drinking water supplies. So, you know, there's a lot in the water, and we need to be asking those questions. And it really depends specifically what community you're in and what is around you that will dictate exactly what's in your water, right? So I always worry, I don't want to frighten people about what's in their water, but you are encouraging people to ask the right question. They need to go, you know, find out exactly what is in the water that's coming into their home. And there are a lot of ways to do that. Some is asking the Philadelphia Water Department. Sometimes it's going to city council. If you have a concern, there's some sort of industrial operation or potential source near you, call the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, and we can help you figure out how to get your water tested. So I don't like to scare people, but there's a lot in the water to be concerned about.
Places where there was a lot of carcinogens in the water, were there a spike in cancers because of that?
So So, you know, this is always the thing, and it's and agencies will tell you, and industries will tell you, and lawyers will tell you, it's very hard to trace a particular cancer back to a particular contaminant. But as you say, you do see where if you've got in the community where there's TCE, there are many, many anecdotal stories, and we're right now trying to gather the information mm-hmm. of a tremendous number of cancers that are in the community that seem so high. And so what we need to do is get the government agencies to come in or to hire our own independent experts to do a formal analysis to really be able to make the case. But what will inevitably happen, either the government official or the industrial operator will say, well, you may be able to show that there's a lot more cancer here, but there's a lot of sources of pollution. Or you can't trace that particular cancer or that case of autism or that, you know, that illness or another directly back to the toxins we're discharging into the environment. That's why, that's one of the reasons why it's so important that we keep all that pollution out of the environment, because it really is difficult to make a direct connection, but yet we know there is a connection, right? A direct connection from a single individual to a single pollution source. But it's the soup of of toxins that are in the air, in the water, in the soil, getting placed on the food that we eat, that all sort of have synergistic effects that can combine to do damage. So while we might not be able to trace it back to one or the other, we know that cancer is on the rise. We know autism is on the rise. We know asthma is on the rise. We know that there are links between pollution and dementia and Alzheimer's and ADHD in children, learning disabilities, liver harm and kidney harm. We know the science is very clear that the toxins that we are pumping into the environment via all these pathways do cause illnesses, even if you can't track it from one person to one source.
So our politicians are allowing all of these toxins into our water. We know that there are carcinogens in the water. We know those things are getting through the filtration system and therefore going into our drinking water, and that we're swimming in it and doing a lot of different other things.
Showering, bathing.
Thank you. And so we are being exposed to it, and that there are spikes in cancer rates that may be related back to this, but this is not causing enough for our politicians to stop the toxins from going in the water in the first place.
So one of the things that, you know, I really lament and I talk about in this new book that I have that just came out is the fact that the way that our laws are written in the United States of America, they are not written to stop all pollution. They are actually written to literally permit pollution to go into the water, to go into the air, to go into the soil. When the laws were first passed, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, they did a lot of good. They cleaned up a lot of pollution that was already in the environment. They forced new technologies to limit pollution that was industrial operators and developers were putting into the environment. And so they cut things down. They were not designed to stop all of this pollution. They were simply designed to regulate it. That's part of the fundamental problem with the way our legal system operates. And that's why in the Green Amendment, I really argue that we need to do something more, because our laws are not protecting us in the way we need them to be, because we do still have people getting these dangerous illnesses. Mm-hmm. So we need to protect our environment, our right to a healthy environment, the same way we protect, for example, our rights to free speech and freedom of religion, our private property rights, in the Bill of Rights section of our Constitution.
Agreed.
And in Pennsylvania, we now have that. But many of our legislators and our government officials at the local level and at the state level don't embrace the reality that they now have a constitutional obligation to protect our right as people to pure water, clean air, and a healthy environment. And so part of the goal of the book is to let people know they have those rights and encourage them to really fight for them as firmly and as strongly as they fight for their other constitutional rights.
That's so important. And the fact that, you know, our natural resources aren't enshrined as, you know, inalienable, protected resources for us it seems kind of ridiculous. But I think the argument you're making, it sounds like in your book, The Green Amendment, really is trying to create a new framework for us to be able to protect all of our natural environment and resources. So I really appreciate you taking that stance. We have to go to a commercial break now, so I want to just thank you for educating us tonight about our watershed and what that means and the significance of all of the different threats that are surrounding it and the work that you've been doing for such a long time to try to protect water for all of us. If people want to find out more about your organization, how can they do that?
They can just go to DelawareRiverkeeper.org and they can get right in touch with us. And really, if they see a problem and they need help in their community with an environmental threat, I really hope people go to DelawareRiverkeeper.org and look us up on the internet. Or we have a pollution hotline, 1-800-8-DELAWARE. The RE on the end are extraneous, but that's okay. Just type them in. The phone won't notice. 1-800-8-DELAWARE. It's our pollution hotline, and you can call it for any reason if you need our help to take on an environmental threat in your community.
Great. Thank you so much, Maya Van Rossum, the Delaware River Keeper.
Great.
Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break to pay some of the bills, and we'll see you on the other side.
I'm Council